Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Today on Lulz, we are tackling a few different issues. We got the Illinois House approving a sports betting tax hike. We'll, of course, get Brian's thoughts on that. We also had a little controversy in the best ball streets after a drafter purposefully threw a draft last night. There was lots of discourse on that. We will, of course, talk about that. And any other questions you guys have, feel free to drop them in the comments. This is Lulz with Pete and Brick. He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. Welcome to Lulz, your go-to place for DFS, best ball, drama, all of that good stuff. I do feel bad, Brian. Once a week, our friend Travis Petty will swoop into the chat, maybe what, like halfway through the show, and see, is there any DFS drama going on? And I feel like we've really been letting him down lately.
That's not our fault. That's not our fault, Travis. Watch the intro, and I think I might need a new Lulz hat. Do we have any new merch?
You know, it's so funny you say that. Not new, but I'm doing an iced coffee out of the Lulz mug today here.
I have one of those.
What kind of merch would you like? I'm actually wearing a
new brim.
I got a new pocket tee. That my store now has that. So this is a from an ADP chasing, ship chasing reference. So, but you want a new hat?
Like an age appropriate hat.
Like, do you like the dad hats, like this style?
Yeah, dad hat.
Do you like those? Yeah.
This was meant as a bit for me, and now I'm just wearing it so much, I think people think this is what I actually wear in real life, not dad hat.
You wear that hat way too much for it to be a bit at this
point. Now, like, but it now. It's the only Lulz head I have.
Yeah.
Lulz copper.
I haven't seen Copper in a while in the YouTube chat. And the first comment I see from Copper in like 2 months is a Lulz cock ring. Welcome back.
It's got like a picture of our face wrapped around.
Yeah. You want to start selling Lulz condoms? You know, there you go.
I mean, our viewership, we do have the highest female viewership in all of gambling. So maybe we should
out again
in that market.
I know. But yeah, no, if people have, you know, the distributor I use for merch, they have lots of different options. We obviously have the Lulz logo, but if there is a specific either new design or if there's just a piece of merch or apparel that you would like to see the Lulz logo on, let me know in the comments and I can make that happen, by request. All right. Brian, let's start with last week. We did start the show and spent a decent amount of time on the Scottie Scheffler situation. We were watching the footage of the cop, you know, approaching his vehicle, very upset. And since then, what, all of the charges have been dropped. There has been audio that has been released of their conversation. Scottie Scheffler seeming very level-headed, not a menace to society in any way. And it seems like a pretty cut and dry case at this point.
Yeah, I think we kind of called it last week too with that cop. He was doing the whole, you know, leading the witness type of trying to get a confession. Real real disgusting stuff, which goes on like way too frequently. Imagine if this is happening to Scottie Scheffler as he's pulling into the golf course.
Yeah.
What they will do to you. You know, not everyone obviously, but it just goes to show that, you know, they don't like it. Like the customer service you get, you know, is really bad. Like compared to anywhere else, even like a bad experience at like McDonald's or something. And it's still usually 100 times better than that. Especially with someone like Scotty, who's no threat to anybody, and to drag him like that and then make up this police report that the cop was actually dragged and his pants were ruined. And I mean, is that guy getting fired? I haven't seen the final update.
I haven't either.
Cause part of the plea deal Scotty signed is he can't sue him.
Wow. So because in that case, like he could have fought it more, right? I mean, he clearly had evidence on his side.
The problem with signing that deal is I can understand from Scotty's like it matters little to him, right? Like I just want to put this behind me. It seems like the type of guy he is. But like when guys like him aren't even going for it when they could, right? He could afford it to go, you know, to seek justice, or it's like this guy then might not get fired. Someone else might be. That guy's been suspended before too, I think.
Yeah.
So like when people like him aren't even going far enough for some sort of justice, it's going to have like a domino trickle down effect. Some poor bastard who takes a left turn and doesn't see this fucking loser cop, you know, and then he's banging him with a clipboard, beat someone to death with a clipboard. It's on Scotty's shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, HML in the chat says he's not being punished. True? He was lightly reprimanded for having his body cam.
Oh, God. I bet that guy's body camera breaks all the time. Just never works.
It's crazy how that happens.
So crazy. Yeah, it's in the shop. I thought he got a week off or something, but maybe I misread. It might have been Twitter info. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but at least Scotty doesn't have to deal with this anymore. You know, what a joke.
Yeah, he actually, I mean, man, like you listening to the audio of how calm he was, and there are a lot of other mega famous people who would not have handled that situation with near the grace that he did.
Yeah. Oh, I would have been like, I'm Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I'm going to tee off in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, why, you know, what are you why are you treating me this way?
Yeah. Yeah. Insane. So there you go. Putting a bow on the Scotty Scheffler situation. I did want to pull this up because this was, I don't know if you saw this initially last night, Brian, but this was a big topic within the best ball world. There was this draft here. This user screenshotted it, said, this guy's name is Matt Martin, is such a sore loser trying to get a draft thrown out because he didn't get Stroud. And so just to show the draft dynamics of what happened here, basically he had reached, this is getting a little in the weeds. The best ball people will know it. He took Nico Collins early in the second round, which is a reach by ADP, but he clearly did it so he could get Nico Tank and then try to get CJ Stroud coming back, which there's no guarantee CJ Stroud ever is coming all the way back there. But this guy who had Josh Allen, and who knows if it was malicious, who know if it was just someone trying to get two elite quarterbacks, whatever, it doesn't matter. Take CJ Stroud. And then this guy has a full-on temper tantrum meltdown, selects New Orleans tight end Tommy Hudson and XFL hero DeMornay Pearson L with his back-to-back picks, proceeds to tank the entire draft. And the other thing that's noticeable about this is sometimes you expect this behavior from like new people on Underdog. It's like, hey, this is my first draft. I want to get my guys. What the hell? Like, whatever. This is a guy with a badge who has done thousands of drafts on this site and throwing a temper tantrum and threatening his account. So first of all, did you see this? Do you have any thoughts about this behavior and how Underdog should handle it?
I saw Rudman was posting something this morning, and I'm assuming it was based on this.
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts before I give my take. What do you think should be done here?
First of all, I should say Rudman had a tweet he deleted that was very funny, where he quote retweeted and said, "Get ready to learn DK, buddy." And then and then deleted it. That was very funny. I think in general, you know, we were actually talking about this on Off and On the Clock yesterday, of the line between, you know, throwing out drafts and allowing people to be bad drafters, essentially, right? Where it's like, okay, he reached four rounds ahead of ADP for a player. Like, who cares? Like, to me, the things you're trying to police against are collusion, you know, outright cheating, and behavior like this, where you are maliciously like tanking a draft. You are trying to ruin it for everyone else. Those are the two things. So like, to me, I don't know. I don't want to necessarily go as far as say it's like a full out ban, but I don't know, like a year ban, like some kind of thing where there is an actual punishment, I think, is deserved in this instance. And this guy went on to admit it. Like, this wasn't just a thing where he could have said, oh, I got timed out or whatever. He went on Twitter and said, really getting piled on here. I apologize for wasting everyone's time. I've done thousands of drafts and never responded to being sniped in this way. I rage quit and it was poor form. I'll try to do better next time. I mean, I guess some points for honesty, but if I were him and wanted to stay on Underdog, I would have said I was messing around with my queue and it was an accident. Because this kind of more makes it very obvious. But yeah, what's your take on this?
I agree with everything up to that, to your last point of this guy's case. So I think they really should be focused on collusion.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't going to be a great example, but like, if somebody gets tilted like this on a poker table and donks off their buy-in, the casino shouldn't come up and go, listen, he tilted off. We're going to have to reset here. Give him his money back. Everyone gets their money back. He was upset. It's like, no, that is part of the game. Now, the slight difference here is this is a tournament where one of these teams might get like a super team or something.
Right.
That could affect the entire tournament. So it's not apples to apples, but I think the leeway for people donking off a stack, you know, so to speak, should be there for sure. The whole edge you have in most of this stuff is bad players. Let's just be real. You're better than them. And so sometimes it comes in this form of people tilting it off. So yeah. I'll tell you this too. Like, I don't know if he wants me to say this. I'll just say, he probably doesn't care, but I'll just say someone we know was like trying to figure out how to beat best ball. And then, you know, the picks that he was given were so bad. I think the draft was canceled.
Okay.
But that draft shouldn't have been canceled because his early attempts at beating the game suck.
Yep.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, and I've had that, like where the draft caddy broke or something. And like the suggestions were bad, or because I was multi-tabling and it doesn't really work super great with multi-tabling, especially on its own browser.
Yeah.
Like, you guys should get the benefit of that.
Yes.
Of course. So like, I like that they're being proactive in policing, of course. And
yeah.
But I think they should probably have more leeway to allow for bad lineups to go through when it's not collusion. Like, this isn't collusion. This isn't then another guy's directly benefiting. No. I guess I get the other side would then be like what I said earlier is, well, a team in here could get so good that they have an unfair advantage to all other pods. So let's just give it away. I definitely wouldn't ban him. I want that guy in my drafts. I don't want him playing on DraftKings. You know what I mean? Like, I'd much rather have him donking it off here. So I don't know. I think I'd be more lenient.
Yeah. And it is this weird thing where you're like, it is so crazy because you're trying to find one incentive for this guy to behave this way. And there's literally none. One, you're torching your $25. You are risking your account. He literally took two joke players, and then Rashad White falls to the sixth round to the guy he's mad at. That's actually a nice ADP value on Rashad White there. Like, everything he's doing, it's like, what is the upside of doing this? You clearly love drafting. You have a badge. Like, you've spent a lot of time doing this. Like, I mean, well, this guy just had
between mini tilt in full blown tilt. Like, I mean, this guy would make his life every draft pick just to screw over this guy. So he would look at his stacks and go, who can I take in week 17 that he would want? Who could I take that stacks his stacks? Like, that's a mini tilt. Full blown tilt is you're this type of shit where you just shove it in with Deuce 7 offsuit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where you're just totally against a guy who's already four bet you, you know, something like you're just dead. You know, so like these are like two different types of tilt. And man, I don't know. I think you know what they should do to this guy is give him his own YouTube channel and let's watch him tilt.
I would have, dude. I wish there was a camera when this happened. Cause I have to manufacture, you know, tilt when I'm streaming because it's just a fucking draft. Who cares? But it is entertaining to get really upset at something. This guy. Holy cow. Do you think he punched a hole through his drywall when this happened too?
This is the tough pitch of best ball, right? Maybe this is the guy just flipping out for the younglings won't get that reference, but you know, this is the guy on YouTube flipping out playing best ball. That, I mean, someone should, even if it's an act, someone should start that.
Can I tell you the other thing my brain went? I want you to guess what you think happened, because do you think he like rage scrolled, like he just went scroll, 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 click? Or do you think he rage pecked Tommy Hudson? Tommy Hudson's the most obscure name. Like, that's what I really want to know. Was it a random scroll click or was it DeMorne Pearson L?
Drag, yeah, drag and click. Drag all the way, click, drag.
Drag, drag, drag.
Drag, click, yeah. Or was, I mean, I would like to see these guys' rankings on the day of draft. Drag, QQQQ, leave.
Right.
Something like that is possible.
It's just like, again, I will not condone this behavior ever, but I would get it if it was your first time doing a draft on Underdog. And you're just like, this is my experience, man. Whatever. One of your first times doing a draft. When you have done even hundreds of drafts, much less thousands, like this guy's admitted, we have all seen every bit of this. You're waiting on quarterback and people take their fourth quarterback. We've seen it a million times. Like, this is par for the course. That's what's like boggling my mind as someone who's an experienced drafter could be thrown by this happening. You know how many fucking times I've seen someone take two elite quarterbacks and I thought it made no sense? Like, how have you not seen this before? How did it get this far until you flew off the handle?
I think it was you mentioned the Nico Collins reach in the second round. He's like, I'm a genius. I'm going to go up here, and then I'm going to get Stroud and the whatever it was. And what about this? What if it's like after five rounds and it's not collusion? Let the donk donk off his roll.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's have like somewhere – like this was pretty early. So this is almost five rounds. We got four rounds here, right? Four real rounds.
The picks, the tank picks were the 5-6 turn. Yeah.
That's a little on the cusp. Maybe it should be seven rounds. But like if somebody's connection, you know, like I guess connection's different. That's no fault of their own. But if somebody just donks it off after round seven, that's not enough to get rid of the draft, in my opinion. You got to allow donkeys to be donkeys. I think. That's my vote on here. The other side, though, is you have a strong argument for. I don't know about the whole year ban. That seems pretty very extreme to me. You know, I condone this as long as it's live streamed on YouTube. Then it should be allowed, and no matter no restrictions.
Yeah. It's again, it's weird because sometimes you would find spots where the incentives weren't aligned, but like in this it really makes no sense to behave this way because do you know what they're trying, because a lot of times where people think the incentives are, and again, I'm not going to try to put myself in this guy's head thinking he was thinking logically, but sometimes I think a person who's new to drafting will think, I know I can get this draft thrown out and then I'll get my money back, essentially get to hit restart on the game. Oh. And get to try again. I think that's generally the logic when people do this. But again, this guy has to have known that there are consequences for trying to free roll a draft, essentially.
That's the strongest argument.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the strongest one, is he's not super tilted. He's actually just trying to get the draft canceled, which is another reason why you should let it go through. I could see maybe he forfeits his 25 or something as punishment instead of a year ban. I definitely think that's too strong. And then give him a warning. And then if he does it again or three times or something, then ban him.
Yeah. I definitely think, yeah, at the very least, you do not get your money back for this draft. Yeah, I think I'm with you in that I'm not one of those people that are like lifetime banned, but I do think there should be some form of consequence to be like, yeah, don't do this again. I do even think if it's like, if this happens again, your account is already earmarked as someone who has done this, like then it's curtains for you. Like, yeah. You know, you can't just keep doing this without any repercussions.
Yeah. If you're just causing problems, you know, over and over again, just get rid of them. But I just think like, I want to allow people to tilt. I think it'd be good. It'd be good content if somebody did that. And also I think there's a gray area. So like, what if he was mini tilting? And so, you know, he takes someone three, four rounds earlier than he should, but it's just to piss off this guy who snipes Stroud from him. Are we banning him then? Are we getting rid of it?
Can we talk about like what the actual way to handle this tilt, like the good version of this tilt? I look at this guy's draft and I say, guess what, buddy? I'm going to make your life a living hell the rest of this draft. Okay, you took Josh Allen at 35. Guess what? I am taking Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir at the 5-6 turn here. I am going to take every single Buffalo Bills player you could ever want. I'm going to make you have naked Josh Allen, you know, like every little thing I could do to stick it to him. Like, that's how you have fun. Like, battle with this guy, take each other's players within reason. And then no one actually cares what happens. This is like, just, what is it? What's the saying? Cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Your face. And then there's 20 rounds now. Right. And then in 20 and 19, you take the backup QBs for Buffalo and Houston. Who's Houston? Houston's actually got a good backup, right? What's that guy's name? He was a starter for a couple of years, unless they cut him.
Sorry, who are you talking about?
Isn't that Houston? Let's see if I can.
I missed what you said initially.
Houston's backup QB.
Oh, okay. It's not. It used to be Mike Glennon back in the day.
No.
I got you. I'll Google better than you.
Davis Mills.
Okay, there it is. But yeah, Davis
that's
Mills.
Not bad. Take Davis Mills in the 20th. Because if Stroud goes out for the year, he's probably playing all the games.
Yeah. Yes.
That's how you tilt. That's how you tilt properly.
The other thing, yeah, GA said that they said he was banned, but they did not mention
the
length there. Yeah, I think. It's, you know, I will say, like, zooming out a little bit more on stuff, like, where do you fall on if you have, because Underdog obviously has like a very active community and they have people who work at the company who are receptive to these things. Like, if something shitty goes down, like, they will at least take a look at it. People are constantly tagging them to look at drafts, yada, yada. And that stuff does get seen. I would say on the flip side, from what I hear with the DraftKings, where it's like, the Wild West, right? That there actually is no recourse if something happens. Like, where do you fall on that spectrum? Would you rather have Underdog be slightly, I don't know what the word is, like interfering in this kind of stuff, or just be completely absent, you know, more regulatory of the DK model? Yeah. This is going to really crush your libertarian buttons.
I'm kidding. I think I would put all my resources into like doing it later on, like in the playoffs. And then you're like, oh, this guy was cheating.
But then that's a really bad user experience to go that far and then be like, this draft of yours was thrown out. Like, you can't do that in the playoff formats either, because then that impacts like who advanced out of that pod and stuff. You can't wait that long.
Well, you could do it. Like, what if you did it in the last week?
Well, I do think they did do some of their integrity checks pretty late into the drafting season last year.
Bump someone else up.
But like, why wouldn't you just flag that before the season starts?
Because it probably costs a shit ton.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a lot of manual time, but I'm more just asking, like, do you want the sites policing this so you know that the integrity of your draft rooms is intact versus having no oversight whatsoever?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm saying if I was running things, I'd do it as cheap as possible and probably do it at the end. I don't know. The drafts where there's like three guys colluding is pretty, pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I do hate that idea. Someone mentioned in chat earlier of like this asshole wasted everyone's time. That's another argument for a weak ban or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like, it takes an hour plus to do these fucking drafts.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that the hard thing too is, the ambiguity of if it's going to get like, so if you knew, okay, Tommy Hudson, DeMornay Pearson, now you knew for a fact, then you just put auto draft on, you're going to draft off of ranks, the structure, whatever, like, and then you walk away, like you eject from it right away. It's not knowing. And then you're like, well, shit, I got to sit here for the next 35 minutes because I don't actually know if it's going to get thrown out or not.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't think you can have a perfect world where all the bad drafts go. So, you know what I mean? Cause like I said, like what if this guy made it to the 10th round and then he, you know, somewhere between mini tilted and mega tilted, that's probably not getting kicked out.
Yeah. Well, we had a moment. It was so funny because we talked about some contest integrity issues yesterday on the Off and On the Clock show with the Badge Bros. This was before this incident even surfaced on Twitter, and a guy in our draft room took Ben Sinnott, the Washington Commanders rookie tight end, in the second round. And we were just like, are you kidding me? Because we're like, this guy's going to tank it. And it had to have been like some Davis Maddox star method. He put a sleeper he wanted to make sure he didn't forget about, because then he just drafted, like, I didn't think it was a good team, but he like drafted normal the rest of the way. You know, it wasn't like a tank situation. It was like, I think he just put a sleeper in. It's like, no, you don't want that draft thrown out. Like, he made a mistake. He didn't tank the draft. He sat there and drafted the rest of it. And like, you want to allow people to be bad drafters, in those scenarios. So it is a tricky thing. I think overall it's good that this stuff is being policed both by the community and by the people at Underdog who look into it.
I always err on the side of the community. We'll figure out. Look, this is another good reason to make all the info public. I'm not sure if they decided that. If they're going to put out like every month or two BBM data this year instead of waiting to the end of the year.
Yeah.
But that would certainly help. The looking, like allowing bad players to, like, what percentage of lineups do you think on Underdog that wouldn't have gone on DraftKings? Like those ones I explained before, like people using, you know, an app or something or process they built that sucks and they should lose that $25. You know what I mean? It shouldn't go away, or just people being donkeys, get canceled on Underdog where they otherwise wouldn't have. And now, you know, you would have advanced in those pods, you know, more frequently.
Yeah. And I think that's where like having a really good internal system where you can audit, like, so someone's the way they draft, say the person you were talking about who hypothetically is trying to solve best ball and is making some mistakes, you flag that account, but then you kind of like monitor it, right? Because then you want to see, are there patterns of behavior? Like if this didn't surface onto Twitter, but they flagged this and then, you know, noticed a pattern of behavior that was weird, I think that's where it is actually very helpful, but it requires a lot of resources and money and time, like you said. But I think, you know, Sacrilegious, who was in the chat earlier, he was willing to do a lot of data analysis on the weekly contest, the battle royales, looking for weird patterns of behavior with potential colluders and stuff. So I do think ultimately, like, getting that data out there, letting people self-police it, could be a good way to approach this.
And battle royale is a lot different than best ball. I would be more lenient on best ball, BBM 5.
Yeah.
I would be a lot more lenient. He's right to be suspicious in that battle royale for sure. I mean, just think about it. You know, you get three guys or so in one of those groups, and then one team gets the top, you know, 10 DFS or whatever DFS points projection guys in a battle royale. Like, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a weird thing because I mean, in the typical battle royales where it's what, you know, six drafters, six rounds, 36 players, like you said, if 2 to 3 people were like colluding, like it can, they can get combos of players that like no one else is getting. And that's why they've even kind of scaled back some of the smaller ones, right? Cause they would have the 3-person like battle royales for like a single game slate. And that's when it's like, no, it is literally impossible to get these two players on the team because they go 1-2 in every draft. They're the clear top two. But if you had someone tanking it, then it would be really easy for someone to get those top two guys. So it's like,
yeah.
But then on the flip side, Brian, it also, you don't want to be overbearing in that, like, there are guys scrolling the F down. They're passing on the battle royale strategy. I'm not going to take a first round pick. I'm going to take 2 second round picks because I know no one else is going to have it. And the projection difference isn't that big.
Yeah. What if the way I think to solve this is way different than convention? You know, now all my drafts are getting, you know, that is a possibility. Like, what about like to the 10th round? I don't know. Like, I feel like in BBM5 type of formats, after the 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th round, just let them be donkeys as long as it's not collusion. And then here's another thing, too, where we're talking about like punishment. If you, first of all, we've said a bunch of times over the years, and we'll say it again, like, if you're a cheater like this, you know, and you and your buddies think you're geniuses and you're, you know, whatever the age minimum is, 21, you're like, guys, wait, I just figured it out. If we get in the same draft lobby, we can make a stud team. Wow, yeah, no one's ever thought of that. Like, all these stupid little cheating things, they're not worth it. Like, they're never going to help you. You'll probably get caught and banned. And then when you actually want to put effort into it and beat the game later on, you can't get a fucking account anymore because they have your IP and you're going to have to use your mom's account and all this shit. You know what I mean? Like you're a limited sports bettor. So like, it's just not even worth it to do it. But the difference between this donkey, I think, and the guy and his three buddies who cheat in battle royale, that's like, now you're looking at a permanent ban. I think that's a big difference. I think it's a big difference between the two. Now this guy, the angle that you called, he's just trying to tank, so he actually gets it. I would do a short ban, week or whatever, and then if he does it again, ban him or maybe give him 3 shots. I don't know.
What if you did this? What if you? This is like kind of a, because the whole thing, right, is you have these 11 other drafters. What if Underdog said, you know, we're refunding this? What if you had to? Your account is banned until you pay the $300 to cover this draft. You are making whole all of the other drafters. It was this $300 were put in play for a Best Ball Mania draft. And it's like, you can, I kind of feel like that's kind of an elegant solution.
That's like a logical, the problem is, I think when you start messing with people's money, you start like legally getting into different territory.
Yeah.
I really don't know. Like, I was even thinking the $25 forfeit you might now want to do. Right. Because once you start like getting, especially in the world they're in, sports betting and stuff, like confiscating people's money and then charging them a fee for more fee. Like, it seems like you're kind of like, you're getting the gray area that I have no idea. Like,
holding their account ransom. Yeah. Right. Legally, it probably would work, but I do think just philosophically, it's a pretty good solution. You cover the cost of this draft and everyone's time that you
wasted. I think the punishment should be, this guy has to live stream until he tilts again and I get to see it. And then we'll call it even, because I want to watch this tough fish guy.
And then he has to eat his cactus that he earned last year for maxing BBM.
Eat it live on stream while he's tilting. He won't even feel it.
Oh my goodness. All right. It is wild how, like, even just when Neil put this in our mentions on Twitter, like the conversation breaking out again, like, so many people have very strong feelings about this. You can go read like the comments through here. Like, some people are equally as mad about the guy who sniped, which is also just like hilarious to me. The whole thing too about this snipe, it's like, this is CJ Stroud past ADP. Like, to me, this isn't even a snipe. This is like someone who doesn't understand like how to, you know, allocate their draft capital in a smart way to a single position. Like, I don't even consider this a snipe. It's like CJ Stroud slides past ADP and it's a fucking snipe. Get the fuck out of here.
So it was past. So he probably timed out.
the guy who ended up taking him.
If he takes him here, he probably timed out if he was past ADP. Definitely, passability. That is tilting. I'm telling you, in that extra level that he planned out with Nico, and he was just everything was lining up. The Josh Allen guy's right next to him, so he doesn't need CJ Stroud, and just sent him to the moon.
If I'm trying to justify a mega CJ Stroud tilt, this has to be the mega CJ Stroud tilt. With pick 7 in the middle of the draft, you take Nico Collins. At pick 18, you take Stephon Diggs. At pick 31 in the third round, you take Tank Dell. So you've taken all 3 wide receivers. Now you're still an entire round ahead of ADP. You're the only person with a Texan. You're ready there in the middle of the fourth round, pick 42. I'm going to complete my triple stack. 4 straight Texans. The guy at pick 41 takes CJ Stroud. That's when you fly off the handle. You don't get to lose it trying to get mega ADP value on your double stack. Get the fuck out of here. Now I'm pissed.
I don't know. He could lose it a little bit here. Come on. Guy's got Josh Allen. No.
You're on his side.
I don't know. Just the idea of someone tilting just makes me laugh. I love it. I don't want them to take it away. This is probably half the average basketball player's edge right here is donkey tilters. You know what I mean? You can't get rid of it.
Yeah. All right. There are lots of excitement in the chat because Underdog just dropped 2 new contest formats. They were teasing these yesterday, but Brian, I'll read these off and then you can give me your thoughts on these formats. So we got the marathon cumulative scoring for weeks 1 through 17, 15 to enter. So this is very similar to the drafters style. No playoffs, no pods, just whoever's team scores the most points. Boring. No. But a lot of people like it. A lot of people wanted this. So here it is. And then this one is kind of fun. It's marrying a little bit of the two elements. It's called the sprint. So you do have 2 of 12 from your pod advance into the playoffs, but then it is cumulative scoring for weeks 15 through 17. It's basically saying who had the best playoff team.
Yeah.
To the pod luck.
How many people want that in their home leagues?
Yeah.
If I would have just made it in the first week, I would have won.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's awesome that they have these, and specifically because people have wanted versions of this. I still I fucking love the podluck. To me, it's the most entertaining thing about best ball. But I do think these structures are interesting. And Brian, it probably reframes. Obviously, week 17 isn't all that matters. Thinking about 3-week chunks for schedules, for correlation, those round robin elements we were talking about, galaxy braining for Best Ball Mania, those become pretty impactful in this structure.
Yeah. Yeah. You just want to add all those week 15, 16, 17 correlations. So guys who have multiple correlations there, you really want to stack up in this format. That double correlations and does your desire to stack more increase there? Or is it exactly the same? No difference.
So definitely bringbacks are mostly off the table, I guess, unless you're getting to kind of double dip it with multiple teams who are playing each other.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would go, if you can get, we're adding that. That should actually be on this new update. It'll just show each player's total correlations to your your drafted players. So if you have a guy who's, you have two Panthers and 4 Jets, and he has a week 15 Panthers and a week 16 Jets. He has 6 correlations with your drafted players. Mm-hmm. So that would actually make a lot of sense to look at that on this format.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, this the drafters, the marathon, I don't know. It's just not for me. Hey, that's me. If you like it, like it. Now, this is my preference. I just, after friggin' 8 weeks, you're oh, okay, I'm dead later.
Yeah. No, it's not my jam either, but I do really think And it's actually been funny to kind of see, you know, and one thing I've been thinking about a lot as I see best ball analysis, and it was kind of like what we were talking about last week, where so much analysis is still trying to almost solve for a different game than best ball. Like, it's still wired to this 17 week game, and people still have not fully come around to, you know, weeks 1 through 14 are literally 25% of the contest. There's the three other rounds in 15, 16, and 17. And so much analysis is all about median projections over the entire course of the season, not prioritizing production that is back weighted and like understanding that. There are people who like just living in that mindset of like, I like drafting old school, like who projects well over the course of the whole season, yada, yada. Like, they are going to make better teams in this kind of format, because I've seen them try to pigeonhole their strategies in BBM and it doesn't fucking work. And people get really upset about it. They're like, why doesn't this work? Why is the data? Why are you taking so many rookies? Why are you doing these things? It's well, the contest demands that we do that because that's how it's structured. So again, I'm like you, I don't have much interest in this kind of format, but there are people out there who haven't been able to adapt. And now I think there's a contest for them.
What about combining my idea for cash games and DFS with best ball? So like cash games and DFS, a lot of people are intimidated and they don't want to join it because you're like playing directly against Utacow, you know, like who wants to do that? Or you'll see like three mans or something like that. And it's like, there's only one donkey spot left. And you know, you're like, oh, am I the donkey? Why am I joining this? This is a problem with poker too, in my opinion, like the head-to-head boards, you know, the battles for head-to-head lobby, like I always thought they should make it a random entry where everyone just enters a pool. And then like in poker, you're seated at a random table. Well, in DFS, you could do it where, yes, you draft against an individual person, like in a cat, like let's just say regular season best ball. No one's playing. There's not a lot of people playing cash games, right?
No.
Right. So it'll be a pool of everyone playing cash games. So, like, you don't have to just sit there and draft against whoever the best cash game player is in best ball. I don't know. And then you randomly get assigned an opponent.
Yeah.
So you could have the same players. Well, who cares? You know, it's just like DFS. Right. Like, you're probably not going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And this, like, the whole thing that's awesome about all of these different contests, whether it's Eliminator and Weekly Winners or the Sprint or this, is it's so people can go pick their flavor. It's like whatever flavor of best ball you enjoy. If you're edge seeking and you want to go play Weekly Winners because like the sharps haven't infiltrated that, like there's that for you. If you like the cumulative element, like I don't get this sentiment, pretty disappointed in these two contests. It's like Underdog has like five or six different, entirely different best ball formats that are available. Go play the ones you like to play. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Like I said, I love the pod dynamics. Doesn't mean I think it's bad that the sprint or the marathon exists.
I don't understand that comment you just highlighted.
I don't either. Why'd you highlight that? No, I'm saying I don't get why you would be disappointed in contest of it's like going into an ice cream store and being like pretty disappointed they have pistachio in there next to that mint chocolate chip. It's like,
but I don't understand what the hard agree is, because we disagreed ourselves on I like the one and didn't like the other one. because I like the idea that the 100K one. Yeah, this one seems pretty fun to me. I wouldn't even mind if that was the BBM5 structure.
To me, the thing I always think about, and they kind of tried to do this last year, like what I think would be maybe fun is if you just had the same contest, right? You had BBM, but you had like parallel prize pools, right? So you had like the week 17 prize pool, but then you had like a week 15 through 17. Like instead of having the regular season prizes, you basically have a playoff prize pool that is rewarding the best team in the playoffs who essentially had bad pod luck, but it's still within the same tournament.
Maybe we should pivot and show that Illinois tweet on why, you know, none of this stuff might be playable in Illinois shortly. And or even, you know, that could be in any state, really.
Yeah, let me pull this up.
Pull it up.
The energy of this comment is if I've known Spinner my entire life.
I know. And he just discovered you. It's like your best friend from like sophomore year in high school you haven't talked to in, you know, 25 years or something.
How the hell are you doing, man? No way.
Petey fucking Zets.
dude, fucking Spinner, dude, I've been wondering where you been, bro.
Do you remember in eighth grade, Kate Newman? Do you remember?
Oh, man, there was a Cade who went to my high school.
There you go.
All right, Brian, someone had posted this in the Lulz Discord here. Illinois House approves sports betting tax hike despite operator warnings. Break down what's going on with this.
Well, the operator warnings, you could probably piece that one together. Please don't take our money. That's a nice way of saying that, operator warnings. So they raised taxes. This is, I do not pay as close attention as I used to Illinois politics, but, they raised taxes across the board in Illinois by like a billion or two. And so I imagine this was part of an omnibus bill. Maybe not. No, it looks like it was on its own bill. Maybe HB 4951. But they're also raising taxes on sports betting, which, what do you think will happen when they raise taxes on sports betting? Do you think DraftKings is like, we'll take funds from DFS and just pay for this and we'll keep,
shoulder it all.
I'm sure. Jason Robbins is probably like, I'll take a little bit less pay. I'll sell some stocks and I'll pay this off. Or are they going to just, you know, raise the rake?
It's a pretty big jump, 15% to 35%. It's a pretty big jump.
Yeah. And I've said this, I know, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but like having worked there for many years, like I'm telling you that all the people there think of gambling as a tax on stupid people. They've said it to my face. And so they do not give a fuck. And there is a big difference between state budgets and federal budgets. The federal budget has the Fed Bank, where they could print and just and leverage debt and sell debt. And that's why we're $34 trillion in debt nationally, but not statewide. They can't do that. So like they got bailed out during the COVID crisis when they printed $7 trillion and bailed out a bunch of states. Illinois was one of them. So it paid off the budget. But they really do have to be budget conscious at the state level. And I know the people who made the budget in Illinois, and they were always trying to figure out how to get money and how to pay for the roads and et cetera. Like a big issue now in most states is that EV cars are, most roads are usually paid through a gas tax, a slight tax on every gallon of gas. And if you have an EV car, they're not getting that money anymore. So now the next they're going to start taxing EV cars. So you guys have that to look forward to if you have an EV car. But, when you think of gambling as a tax on stupid people, this is just another avenue to fill that budget, which they have to fill because they actually don't have a state bank that they could just, you know, print money and just be in debt forever. Right. It doesn't work that way for the states. So, I mean, this sucks. I don't know. It doesn't say anything about DFS in here. That's good. At least that's a positive spin. I don't know.
But it's like, it is crazy, you know, right here, major sportsbook operators tried to fight off the tax hike, warning it would lead to a weaker product and worse odds. Like legitimately saying our lines will be more predatory to cover this tax hike.
Well, this is why they're such fucking phonies. I fucking hate these people. This is the group of people who's like, wouldn't allow gambling, right? Wouldn't allow sports betting and DFS, but they also own and operate a monopoly on lottery tickets and scratch off tickets. And then allowed, you know, the mass creation of the fucking slot machines and bars everywhere. And I don't know if you've been to Illinois recently, but they're everywhere now. Okay. Right. But then they're like, no, but we need the integrity of sports betting's too bad. You know? And like, of course we talk about it all the time here. No one's actually looked at the, you know, studies on addiction on these things. And then they, you know, they grandstand on why you can't have poker. We still don't have poker, right? These skill game sports that are completely entertainment based with a small percentage of the population that gets addicted to them. You know, unfortunately that sucks, but it is what it is. And then they grandstand on those, you know, on those issues. Right. And it's just like, and then when push comes to shove and they actually legalize it, they just raise taxes and then they don't care. They don't give a fuck that. Now anyone who bets in Illinois, basically, if these lines get high enough, there'll be like no one who can No Illinois resident could make money on it.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yeah. And again, like the idiot players, like they will be none the wiser. The people right. who understand like what a hold is on a line, like who are just like, oh, I want to bet the home team. Like that they don't understand that the tax just got baked into that.
Yeah. And this is from their like the legislator's perspective is supposed to be the one who's like the little guy here. We're looking out for the little guy here. They don't know what they're doing. If we're gonna legalize this, you know, we want it, the best odds for the residents, right? So they lose the least amount of money, right? You would think that's what their game plan would be, but they literally do not give a fuck. They have to fill. Now, the only reason is they must be desperate for money. Which is not shocking, especially in Illinois, because this does piss off some of their donors. They want money from DraftKings. They want money from all these sports books are I would love to have been there for this one because you have to be behind the scenes to know what everything's going on. And it's usually never what they tell you publicly. But there's a lot of big names and donors who own sports books in Illinois who move, move a lot of bills. So to get this passed too must have been an interesting negotiation. But they have the Democrats have a super majority or close to it. Pritzker's the governor and they pulled it off.
Yeah, and it looks like Pritzker was the one who initially wanted a general increase from 15 to 35, but the legislator was proposing a progressive rate of 20 to 40%.
Okay, so the legislature wanted it higher than actually higher. Pritzker did.
Yeah.
It's kind of because Pritzker's a billionaire, so he doesn't really need DraftKings money.
Yeah, so they have it progressive based on annual revenue, yearly revenue. So if it's like 25% up to 50 million, 30% up to 100 million, 35% up to 200 million, and 40% for more than 200 million.
Mm.
With retail revenue subjected to similar rates.
They had this old thing. They used to, before there was a lottery in Illinois, it was like run by the mob, under the table. There was like under the table lotteries. And so that was the argument for making lotteries legal in Illinois. It was like, well, we got to get it out of the hands of the mob. Right? They've been using this, that like line of reasoning for fucking decades. And so they did, they made it legal. And then one other caveat they did is we're going to take all the lottery money and we're going to put it to education, right? So every penny of lottery is going to go to education, right? This is like, what a noble cause. And like, I'm just picturing, this money going up. But what it is it's just an accounting trick, right? So like, let's say there was $300 million going to education before the lottery, and then you get $300 million with the lottery. Well, you know what they do? They take that old $300 million, since it's not dedicated to education, and they spend it elsewhere, and they just use that $300 lottery money. Because it's, again, you can't print money as a state. So it's all just one big pool of money. And then they just move around other money because now they have this new source. And so like, I don't know, this is just like another example of playing with numbers to just fill holes in debt.
Yeah. And I mean, like it says here, the projected bulk of the tax would come from DraftKings and FanDuel, the two biggest bookmakers in the state. The duo's tax bills in Illinois would be estimated to grow to $121 million and $150 million, respectively, from the $53 million and $63 million they faced with a 15% rate.
I wonder, here's another thing, too. They were getting like X amount from like the, seven or so or eight, whatever many casinos there are in the state of Illinois. I don't know the South very well. I wonder if they were losing money there since the online, option popped up and maybe the person wasn't going to the casino as much and their revenue was dropping. I bet that was talked about.
Yep. Yeah. That's it's a bummer. I think I read in here too, that it's already happened in Ohio and probably more copycat states to come soon if this keeps happening.
And I mean, having worked there, they could get rid of like 80% of the employees and you wouldn't even fucking notice. Like no one does anything. But of course, like they don't, that thought never pops in their head. Like, oh, maybe we could reduce. No. Let's just raise taxes on the dumb gamblers.
Yeah. Hang on, Brian. You didn't tell me you know my boy Spinner too. Brian Hooper, you son of a gun. How the hell are you?
Spinzy.
Spinzy. How do you know Spinzy? How the hell do you know Spinzy?
Fucking Beta Chi? Is that you, Spinzy?
You guys were in the same frat? Spinzy? In high school, you did not strike me as a frat guy. Holy shit, Spinzy.
Fucking Spinzy. I didn't know you went to, or you didn't know Spinzy went to NIU?
No, man, I lost touch with him. I lost touch with Spinzy. This guy, man, we should get together. We should all get together for a reunion. Brick, Pete, and Spinzy.
we do it. We're like, wait, I don't know who this guy is. Do you know?
But it goes to show you, if you know, the catfishing, it can happen in the comments. If you act like you know me, I'll fall for it there.
Maybe he knows Levitan.
Penn State.
Why don't you do this on an ETR stream?
Please don't, Brian. We need all the viewers we can get.
Good point. I got one more comment. Did you listen to the new Unabated podcast?
I haven't. Is it with? I was thinking of Bet the Process. What's the new one?
Unabated has a podcast apparently, and they had Sarah Mack on. So he's like a DFS player / sports betting pro.
Okay,
and so. I've always wanted to have him on our show. He lives in Bali though. So I wonder if that is
really,
that might be like the opposite time zone as us. Actually, I don't even know what time zone it is, but where is Bali?
I mean, now you're really questioning my geography here. Somewhere in like the South Pacific, Indonesia. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's where I thought it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, that was an interesting podcast, but there was one comment she made that I thought was interesting. She said that she doesn't play DFS, but she thinks DFS is like a gateway drug to sports betting. Cause they allow 18-year-olds to gamble. And so that like primes them to 21. Mm. Now it's my understanding it's 21 only anyways. So I think she's wrong on the numbers, right? Is there any state, I'm asking chat too, is there any state that allows 18-year-olds to gamble on DFS anymore? I don't think there is. Mm-mm. But anyways, there might be some 18s. Nebraska and Alabama are 19.
Oh, 19. Interesting.
But Nebraska, you know, in your defense, you can marry your cousin when she's like 14. So,
well, that's like I was able to play, you know, poker at the Indian casinos when you were 18. But then some of them you have to be
right.
Obviously, in Vegas,
you got sovereign territory.
Yeah,
and this is Forbes, so who knows? Yeah, but either way, so. But my thought was like, what a depressing way to look at your industry. That like, this is, you know, cause this is the reason I'm bringing it up is cause we were talking about how these legislators think of us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's bad enough. They're ignorant idiots. They don't know anything about anything. Trust me. But like this, except how to raise money, but this, but like when you're in the industry and to think of, you know, like, I think there's this line between like me and I think you too agree with me and other people who are in this industry where they see gambling as like a bad thing where you're taking advantage of people. And I think you kind of agree with me. I see gambling as entertainment purely. Mm-hmm. And games, you're not taking advantage of someone in a game that you jointly agree to the rules and know beforehand. And it's been around for forever, you know, like fantasy sports. There is like nothing malicious about that. And so to like kind of think you know, like, oh, well, DFS is like a grooming mechanism, you know, to sports betting. And I think a lot of AP, players, advantage players, and like blackjack, because they have this in sports betting, maybe too, they have this adversarial relationship with the sports book and the casino, where poker players and DFS players, we don't have that really, right? They're usually, they're just providing us a service. Of course, sometimes they screw us over. They raise the rake or their benefits drop, and there's all that type of drama. But for the most part, it's player versus player. So I think it's coming from two different worlds possibly. But in my opinion, even sports betting is still just entertainment. Now, if you want to make it your living, people make their living in the entertainment industry all sorts of different ways, right? Like, and they work on the set of a movie, you know, they're producers, there's the porn industry even. I think Nerdy Tenor was in that for a little while.
Strip clubs are a gateway drug to the porn.
Well, that might be true. But yeah, just to see, you know, the industry you're in as, and then I also think that's another reason why a lot of people focus on problem gambling so much, is because they feel this way. They feel that, you know, gambling is a tax for should be a tax for stupid people, you know. Essentially, it's kind of the same logic. And I think most of that is propaganda. I really do. I think gambling is entertainment. And you might go like, yeah, but you're losing money, but that doesn't matter. You lose money in pretty much every form of entertainment, right? Like, there's movies you don't like, you spent the money there. There's, you know, restaurants, the food tastes like shit, you still pay your bill, right? It happens over and over. And if anything, like with DFS or sports betting, like with DFS, you know, it's like watching a movie, except 25% of the people get more money than they paid for when they come back. And I don't know. The podcast was interesting, and I think we probably should reach out to Saramek one of these days.
Yeah,
because he's got a huge gambling background that would fit our show perfectly.
Is he on Twitter? What does he have?
Yes, I follow him.
Okay.
I don't think I ever reach out to him though. I don't know if anyone who watches us
hit him up. If he broke the seal on podcasting.
Maybe Spinner knows him.
Spinzy probably definitely. Spinzy knows everybody. Spinzy,
do you know him?
Please put us in contact. All right. This has been Lowell's. Some updates to the draft caddy, right, Brian?
Yeah, just small stuff like DraftKings fixes and getting the like changing the font so the week 16 and stuff. Oh yeah, that correlation thing will be in there, and we're working on getting the somewhere where you could see the drafted players week 15 through 17 opponents.
Yeah,
where it's a little easier. We might put the matrix idea on there, or put it like right next to the names if it'll fit.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about, I was mentioning this to you, someone mentioned in our Discord, redoing the draft capital box so it'll show your opponents like how many QBs they have and stuff like that, but all in a handy little box. I don't know. I want to redo that so it's, you know, useful for you, like someone like you, Pete. Yeah. So if people have thoughts on that, let us know.
Yep. Good stuff. As far as for me, I'm doing ship chasing here at 3 p.m. Leone's joining us. Leone's actually been, I believe, in the lab refreshing the Best Ball Manifesto data and kind of comparing some stuff from last year and this year. He's going to talk a little bit about some stuff he's found there, and we'll probably do a draft. And then tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, the return of the randomizer drafts. If you guys aren't familiar with it, we get a bunch of crazy prompts on the wheel. It is not a BBM draft. It is a draft that would otherwise get thrown out. Lots of crazy picks will be made. And my guest tonight is Matt Harmon. So yeah, you can tune in to that at 8 p.m. Eastern. Otherwise, good luck out there. And, you know, like Brian said, you should be able to live a little in the draft. Just wait until round 17 and 18. to get your Tommy Hudson, you know, Pearson L. Ray mini correlations. All right, guys, we'll see you next time on Lulz.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.